Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Of daughters, and also I'm telling you, high school girls, send it to them. College girls, send it to them. Young adult girls, send it to them. This is Grace Valentine on today, and you, if you have a child that age, they probably already know who she is. They probably already follow her Instagram account. I learned about her from one of my other children, Amelia McBrayer, and she just went on and on about her, so I trust her wisdom and went and checked her out. I got her new devotional and shared it with Ella, and she is just packed with wisdom. She's honest, and she's hilarious, and she's wise behind her years. She is beyond her years. She's 27, but you would not know that. And I just think you're going to love, we talk about everything from body image to girls not wanting to go to church to moms putting too much pressure on girls. I mean, we go through a lot of topics, and I know you're going to love it. Enjoy the beautiful and wise and bubbly and adorable Grace Valentine. Grace Valentine, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just went to the gym, got Chick-fil-A, which totally like canceled it out. But I'm excited to be talking to you with my Chick-fil-A Coke after
the workout. I like it. What's your Chick-fil-A drink of choice?
Oh, so what's funny about me is I hate coffee, which is, I feel like if you're in, you know, the Christian writing space, people just assume, or if you're in a young 20s, everyone's like, I'm gonna go on a coffee date. And I'm like, oh, here I go, getting tea. But I love just Coca-Cola, like a middle school boy at a lock-in, I always say, like, that is my drink of choice. Like,
listen, me too. I'm from Atlanta, so, you know, Coke is like what you drink. And then I have migraines, so I can't have the aspartame that's in the Diet Coke. And I love a real Coke. There's nothing like it.
Nothing like a fountain Coke. I know. I used to be addicted to the Diet Coke, and now I'm like one a day of regular Coke, which is better than my like 4 a day of Diet Coke shivering, like straight an addict. And so I'm like, we all choose something unhealthy that we dabble in daily. So mine is just fountain Coca-Cola. So
that's hilarious. When we were at Auburn, my college roommates and I, we would call it stingers. We're like, who's going to go get a stingers? Because it just stings so good when you have a fountain Coke.
Oh, so it's so true. That's a good way to call it.
I know. Okay. So we were just talking before we went on, like I normally am super prepared. Like I've got all these questions, but we're just going to chat. We're just like winging it, which I love. I want to get to know you. I heard about you from Amelia McBrayer, one of my like favorite people in the world. She's a Kayo at Tennessee, and you must've come to speak there. And so she loved you. It was like, you have to have her on. So I'm feeling honored to have the Grace Valentine on Pardon the Mess today.
Oh, well, I laugh. Honestly, because my Instagram is the Grace Valentine. So people will say it like you just did. I'm like, I want everyone to know for the record, Grace Valentine was taken by a blonde who was a Pi Phi just like me at the time, an hour away from my school, same age. And so I'm like, I did not choose to be the Grace Valentine.
But it would be different. It was like the perfect Grace Valentine, the amazing
Grace
Valentine.
Yes, I know, but still my friend shipped me back a sweatshirt that I left at a bachelorette party, and she put on the like package to the Grace Valentine. And I
That's
was like,
hilarious.
My friends roast me for it enough. And so
I love it.
Say it.
Awesome. Let's start here. Tell me where we're going to first say where you are now, how old you are, what are you up to? And then we'll go back. I want to know a little bit about your kind of how you, like your upbringing and how you even got started into all this writing.
Yeah. So my name is Grace Valentine. I'm 27 years old. I right now live in Orlando, Florida with a house with a pink door. I love it. I became a homeowner in 2020, right before I was furloughed. So it was like scary, but God has provided. It's kind of cool. That was even like, yes, I had written a book, but I wasn't doing as much Instagram thing. And it's crazy how like that one thing that was horrible and sucked and I was crying and so scared led me to do more of what I do today. And that's the Lord is faithful in that. I went to Baylor University 2014 to 2018. Loved it, but I also grew up in South Louisiana, like near New Orleans, called Mandeville. And I think it was so interesting because I was the Christian girl in Mandeville. Then I went to Baylor and I was like, I lost my identity. And like Louisiana culture in the South is way different than Baptist culture. And I always say I had a little bit of culture shock.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, this is a curse word? Like, I was like, we said this at school. Or I even with like alcohol, that was the weirdest thing for me. And so that's a little bit about me. But I mean, I just feel like, as an author, I write a lot of books, mainly for college girls. So a lot of times moms don't know who I am, but like college girls know who I am.
Yeah.
I just have a passion for hopefully reaching. I always say that in between group, between like Barstool, like the, you know, the girls who are in the sororities, who are listening to the kind of secretly the raunchy podcasts and, you know, dabbling in that crazy formal season, whatever it may be. And even in post-grad, still in the party scene. And, but they love Jesus or they want to love Jesus or they're struggling to find their worth. And I'm like, I want to show them that they can find freedom in Jesus, that it's Christianity isn't about what you can't do. It's also about what you get. And I think I was so scared of walking with Jesus when I was in college because I was scared I was going to miss out on a cool college experience. Or even in post-grad, you get scared that you're going to miss out on success. And the truth is, when I started walking with Jesus, it wasn't about what I didn't get. It was about what I did get. I was like, wait, yeah, there's so many blessings you get when you're walking in God's best. But it doesn't feel like that when you're 21 and you're not getting asked to the fraternity formal and you're overwhelmed and, you know, or you're in high school and you feel like every girl gets a homecoming date or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And you feel overlooked. And so that's kind of like my goal is to help young women just realize that Christianity is an adventure worth living. It's fun. It is not always cool, but it's cool to me. And I hope it's cool to them. And it gives them purpose.
I love that. I relate so much to that. I think that the moms listening, you know, we're doing our best to raise girls that love Jesus, but they have a choice and you had a choice. Like when you get out of the home, it's like, okay, we hope what we instilled and what God taught you sticks, but you're at that point where you're kind of like, do I have a curfew? What do I do? What do I want to eat? And you start making those choices. So but walk me back a little bit. So tell me about those days in Louisiana. Was it like really ingrained in you? Do you feel like you were walking closely with Jesus? Or you just kind of knew about him? Take me back to like high school and then the through that college.
So I always say the first time I remember vividly praying to God, honestly, was actually during Hurricane Katrina because we evacuated to Florida, which is ironic. I'm like, who goes to Florida during a hurricane? Only Louisiana people, because they're like, this is better. And so that was the first time I was like, it all hit. I'm like, wait, because my parents were so great and they took me to church. You know, grew up in a Methodist church. I went to church weekly, but it hit. I was like, wait, storm? Like Noah's Ark? Jesus walking on water? Like Hurricane Katrina? Like I finally grasped, like, there's a storm and I need a God. But then honestly, middle school is hard. And I grew up in the suburbs of South Louisiana. And I feel like things just happened to me. Like half my face went paralyzed. I had Bell's palsy for a little bit, which is so random. I was very bullied. And I think that suburban upper middle class folks know that it starts with that age where they don't know the difference between sarcasm and just being mean, you know? And so it was very much a hard thing for me, even to the point where, you know, you grow up and you still remember the eighth grade lies you believe. And then my parents are so great. And they always want what's best for me. And I do think it's one of those things where I was so embarrassed to tell them like what people were saying about me. Cause I was scared I was going to hurt them. I was scared I was going to break their heart to tell them what people were saying about me at school. Mm. So I hid it in my heart and I honestly had a moment where I was like, is this life even worth like living if I'm not pretty and if I'm not cute? And that sounds so dumb, but I think it's even worse now for girls with social media that like if people are calling me ugly, if they don't think I'm pretty, like am I worth anything as a girl? Because that's what it felt like. So then I became opposite. I came obsessed with my looks. I was like, I need to fix something. I was obsessed with working out. I went to the tanning bed. I figured out what highlights were. I was late to getting braces, but finally got them. So by my junior, senior year, it was like it all switched. And I think what was hard for me was I realized people do treat you differently based on the way you look. And at that point, I had an eating disorder. People were asking me how I, you know, got so fit and got my body. I was eating a granola bar at lunch and teachers even pulled me out. I had a great teacher who was like, I know you're not eating. And I was like, honestly, thank you. Like, I'm hungry. Yes. Like, I need someone to talk to me about this. But it was hard because I ended up being class president, speaking at my graduation. And I remember being like, I just fooled all these people. Like, I just literally tricked them. Like, all I did was get hotter and suddenly they thought I was cool. And I walked off that stage. I loved doing my speech. And I remember that was a moment where I felt God say, like, you're going to do this one day, but it's going to be for me. And you're going to have a lot more confidence than you have now. Wow. And I remember being like, a woman speaking, like, I don't see that often. And even though I went to a great Methodist church, I'm like, only men do that, you know, like men are the ones who speak. And so it's cool because I now get opportunities to speak to girls. But yeah, those years in adolescence are so hard. And I think everyone listening to this, no matter their age, they can remember like that age and feeling like you're becoming a woman and you don't know what your body's doing and everyone has an opinion. And I get so scared for this next generation because, you know, they go on social media and they're reminded of it again and again and again. And a lot of the role models aren't good. They're not pointing them to anything of value. They're pointing them to themselves and what they have and the shiny things that are going on in their life. And so that insecurity and that, you know, having your confidence in the thing of this world and your body is so common. And that's something I struggled with a lot.
Yeah. Gosh, you brought up something that's so true. And I felt like this. I have times of like where I'm carrying more weight and I'm not, but the world does pay you more attention when you're prettier. And that is so horrible because you're telling your daughters, I have two girls, that that's not the root of your identity. That won't fulfill you. But they know that like their friends, you know, if someone's prettier than them or whatever, they're getting more attention. And that is just crushing. So I'm glad you brought that up. So what do we tell our girls? Like, how do we communicate that like, this is real, this tension is real, but it is not the thing that will sustain you and bring you life over time? When did you have that like epiphany that like, that was, it's not bad to work out. Yes. It's not bad to flat iron your hair, but that won't be the thing that fills your heart. Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately, but did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers, this one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Okay, calling all moms of
teen and tween girls. I'm so excited to tell you about a company that we love and trust in the DeFeo house. It's called Simply Be Box. Simply Be Box is a faith-based subscription box for teen and tween girls filled with fun, positive, on-trend items and encouragement to simply be who God created her to be. Each box is focused around one of what they call Be Attitudes. Isn't that cute? One box might be themed around Be You or Be Brave or Be a Friend and more. The boxes have seasonal and inspirational themes, and they always include something to read, do, wear, eat, display, and use. I know your next question is, well, how does it work? Once you have a subscription, the box ships 4 times a year. And you know why I love Simply Be boxes? Well, it's 2 things. The girls love getting behind all the fun, new, and on-trend items that arrive to them in the mail. And as a parent, I can get behind it because every box points them back to Jesus. Great news. As Pardon the Mess listeners, you are getting $10 off your first subscription with code PTM10. So head on over to simplybebox.com and subscribe today. Discount code PTM10.
Well, something I even tell girls till this day of all ages, and I'm like, okay, you get to your funeral happens one day. You know, you leave this earth, and if everyone stood up and talked about how hot you were, you'd be like, this friggin' sucks. I want a refund. Like there's got to be something else about me. Like, I'm funny. Like, I'm sweet. I'm kind. Did I make someone feel better about themselves? Did I have a job? Did I wake up every day looking eager to love? And that to me shows that at the end of the day, like, your beauty may be something people notice, but it's not going to make anyone leave feeling better. Wow. And so I'm always like, you have no control. I have no control if I'm the prettiest girl in the room, you know. And I think a lot of girls go through recruitment and they feel that way too. They look to the left and to the right. There's a girl with a Love Shack fancy dress and Golden Gooses, and they're like, I can't afford that. And I don't look as pretty as her. Like, I have no control over that, but I can't control if I'm kind, if I'm caring, if I, even as silly as if I have a good posture, like if I'm confident in who I am and also content with who I'm not. And I think that's something so rare, is being like, I am not the prettiest person in the world. Like, Zendaya, so much hotter than me, you know? Like, you know, Jennifer Aniston still is probably hotter than me, you know? Like, there's just things that are just true, but I wasn't called to be hot. Like, I hope when I leave this earth that my legacy is one of love. And usually when I tell young girls that, they're like, yeah, because if you tell a girl, no, like, you're altogether beautiful, my darling, I'm like, yes, God thinks you're beautiful. You were created in his image. Like, that is something that you should celebrate. But if there's a boy out there, if there's a mean girl who says that you're not beautiful, like, don't let their opinion stop you from walking in truth and knowing that that has no value. But also, the things that make you the most valuable aren't even your looks, because the things that actually have the power to change people aren't your looks. Like, your looks might give you attention, but they won't leave someone feeling better.
Wow. So good. I had a moment when I left Auburn that, you know, I had achieved lots of things and dated a lot of people. And it was like that epiphany, like, oh my gosh, I had put God like on a shelf and didn't think I'd need him. So was there a moment that you kind of realized, okay, I need to change? Or was it over time God was just drawing you near to him?
Well, I think at Baylor, once again, I feel like I had this culture shock. So I was like, I thought, like, also the Christianity became more my identity. And I think people in the South understand this, as in, like, if you're like the one Christian girl in the setting, you're like, I'm the Christian girl. Like, people call me prude. Like, I'm made fun of, but like, that's my identity. And then I went to Baylor. I'm like, everyone's Christian. So what makes me different? Mm. And so I was like, I'm the Louisiana girl, you know? Like, and it was very hard for me because I chose the party scene very early on. And I think Baylor's one of those schools where, like, yeah, you could think that there's no partying, but there very much is, but it's in these certain pockets of like the Greek life. And I chose that, but I finally woke up sophomore year and I was like, wait, I'm not having fun. Like, I was doing this for fun, and there's nothing fun about waking up hangover and like looking at texts and cringing. Like, there's nothing fun about not knowing what I did last night and maybe having a fight with a friend because we both were drunk, you know? And so I felt like there was so much of this pushing down your throat of churches saying, you know, don't drink underage because it's a sin. And that is very true. Like, it is a sin to drink underage. It's also a sin to run a stop sign. It's a sin to speed. Like, you're supposed to follow the laws of this land. But I think I just needed someone to tell me in college, like, you don't have to get this blackout drunk because I know you're not having fun. Like, who thinks it is fun to go into a basement that smells like marijuana and take shots and look at each other in a crop top as you're bloated? Like, you know, that is not fun. And so when I realized that wasn't fun, I realized I've been sold a lie from the world. And I was like, I actually want to enjoy my life. Like, I want to find purpose and love and confidence in it. And that means I'm going to have to say no to some things that I thought were fun. And then I ended up having more fun walking away from all that.
Yes, I totally agree. Well, as I had kids, I wrote a book called In This House, We Will Giggle. And I'm not trying to tout it. It's just the whole idea that, like, I grew up thinking, and my parents were amazing. I always have to say that because I'm like, no diss on my parents, but I in my head somehow interpreted that Christianity was like rules and you had to follow along, like in a line, and you couldn't sin and or you're in trouble. But and then it wasn't until my younger 20s, I was like, this is awesome. Same thing. Like, it feels good to be generous. It feels good to be kind. It feels good to walk in step with the Lord. And I remember going on a mission trip and going like, whatever this is, like being in the center of God's will, I want to do it the rest of my life. And so I am with you. I think that that is a lie and something people have in their head. It's like, oh, it's Christians are boring. Christians are not fun. Being a Christian is lame. So I love that. So how did you know at 18, 20, 21 that you were going to be an author? Like, this is so crazy. You're 27 and you've got like a whole host of things with such confidence and truth. I've been reading through your stuff and I'm like, this is legit. Like, it is obvious the Lord is speaking through you onto these pages. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's so kind. I think my favorite thing is that, like, the first thing I wrote wasn't a book. I think I wrote so much on my blog for a little bit. And I think some people get so excited about, like, writing a book. And I always felt called to write a book. But I first also was like, okay, how can I be faithful where I am? And I did that sometimes great, sometimes horrible. And so I first actually started writing on, like, a secular website. And I would do, like, funny pieces. And then I would occasionally do a Jesus piece. And they were like, Jesus piece is kind of weird. And then it would get like the best views. And they're like, keep doing more of those. and it wasn't until I realized that they like didn't own it and they tried to own the work that I was writing. I was like, wait a second, I need to start going with this book. And so I was like 20 years old when I was like signing my publishing deal, which is, I look back and I also was so naive about the fact that I don't know if I would do it today. Looking at the stats and where I was at, I was like, God called me to it. Like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so naive. Like, but it's cool that God used that childlike faith of, you know, he called me to it. And I have to remind myself of that today whenever I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, it did not make sense for a publisher to give a 20-year-old a book deal who had just had a couple blogs go viral, but wasn't related to anyone famous. You know, like, that made no sense. He was like, I drank last year a lot. Like, you know, and they're like, I was totally a liability. But it was all God's hand. And I think that to me has been the greatest blessing of it all. And I'm sure you can relate to like doing what you do now. Like, there were so many moments that, yes, you were called, but there were little steps you had to take.
Yeah.
And it was about those little steps and being faithful where you were at that got you to where you are now.
Yeah, totally. I look back and cringe a little bit because I'm like, who did I think I was writing a parenting book when my children were 2 and 5? But I didn't even think about it. Like, it was so obvious that I was supposed to write it. Mm-hmm. And I was so on fire for the message that didn't dawn on me till later. I'm like, I can't, no one laughed at me. I'm sure inside people are like, oh, okay, I'll read your parenting book. But I love that feeling of just burning inside and knowing that God wants you to say something and then you get it out. And I love that you said it's a blog because not everybody's going to write a book, but it's like, hey, if he wants you to say something, it could be your roommate. It could be on a walk with another mom. It could be, you know, Instagram, whatever it is, just be faithful.
It's your local church. I feel like, you know, the first things when I wrote, like on my own stuff, I would give them to like campers, you know, it wasn't first in a book, you know, and like, it would be letters to them. And that's when I like do my Instagrams now where it's like going into your freshman year, what I want you to know. And I remember telling those things to girls I knew going into their freshman year that hopefully I was discipling well. And that's how it all starts. I think we want to do big things, but it's so important about doing holy things, and holy things aren't main character things. They're not these like moments where you have this cool reel of what was then, what's now, but they're just things that bring his name to light and not your own.
Yes. I love it. Okay. I want to go back. I was flipping through this morning and I think that so many of these, I'm going to try to find the table of contents. You talk about purpose for girls, self-worth, contentment, love, peace, joy, more Jesus. And we could go through each of those, but let's talk about friendship because I think that that is one of the areas, that I see mom's hearts breaking because it's like when they're in high school, middle school, you can't just do the play date. You can't like manufacture the deal. And so talk to the girls that are really feeling like no one likes me. I don't fit in anywhere. And this could go all the way from, I don't know, elementary through young adulthood. It's just a thing that is really hard for girls.
Yeah. Well, I think, and especially it's parents, like the reason a mom's heart breaks is because God's heart breaks. You know, that's like the reflection of the character of Jesus. And I, you know, there's like that empathy and the gentleness. I think reminding yourself that it's not not always, I think, what you get to see. Like, you don't have a helicopter view of it, that there's so many other variables. Because I think sometimes you, as a mom, I've seen moms be like, well, I know she's kind of awkward in these settings. And like, you know, they, because they do know their child so well. But at the same time, there's stuff that God sees that you don't see. And there are gifts that you don't see. There's days when she's trying at school and you don't get to see that. Like, you think she's not really putting herself out there, but you don't really know the full story. And so kind of accepting the humility that, like, I don't know the full story, but like, I get to be her friend, and like, doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with her. Like, world's cruel, and I'm going to give her grace, and I'm going to be gentle with her. And I'm going to hopefully show her that, like, what it means to have good friendships. And I think in general, whether it's body image or whether it's friendships, your girls are looking at the way you handle those things too. So it's like, if I hear like my mom overthinking a friendship conversation and be like, does she not like me? She hung out with someone else without me. Like, I'm going to be more likely to think that and not even realize that. Just like, I'm sure a lot of us with body image, we remember our moms maybe talking down about their body. And so naturally they thought we weren't listening, but we were. And it's caused us to have body image struggles. And so I think with friendship too, look at the way that you're showing her what friendship looks like without having to tell her. You know, are you reaching out to your friends? Are you, you know, bringing them over to your house, even if your house is a little messy, because at the end of the day, like, it's better to see them than pretend to be perfect around them. And especially with friendship, I think we're seeing a lot of people resent these one-sided friendships where they're like, well, I try and I try and I try, and they don't treat me the same way. And I do think there comes a point when maybe you can't trust them, but you're still called to give them love and grace. And also, friendship isn't a scoreboard, that love holds no records of wrongs. And so if she's seeing you spiral about these one-sided friendships or get bitter about it, then she's going to do that. And that will cause her to not give grace and be patient with people who maybe are supposed to be these forever friends for her.
That's so good.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Hey, can we go back to body image? Because it's a hard topic. I get more DMs of moms just so fearful. Like, they know their daughter's struggling and they don't want to be the reason for an eating disorder. So I know there's a lot to unpack there. I would love to know how you got from an unhealthy place to a healthy place. And as moms, it's really difficult because you don't want to agree. You don't want to be, but when your daughter's crying about it, you're like, should we do something? Like, I think it's such a tricky place to land. So any advice there for moms that are seeing their girls struggle in that area?
Yeah. Well, I think the sad thing is too, like, I want to affirm any mom whose heart is breaking for their girl struggling with body image, because I sadly see a lot of moms who they think they want what's best for the daughter, but they're speaking into their body image issues if they don't even realize it. And it might be like, I'm just trying to encourage her to have good habits. And I'm like, there's ways you can do that without like pointing it out. Cause that's that age where like, you're just going to overthink anything. Yeah. And so for anyone who's like, their heart's breaking for that, thank you. Like, thank you for letting that sin and that struggle and that warfare you're watching your daughter not be something you're thinking, this could be used for, you know, great, because God will transform that for something good, but that's because of his power and not because that's a good experience. And so, but when it comes to like watching your daughter experience that, I think just showing her, especially like the media you consume, really affects that. So like, what's on your TV in the middle of the day? You know, what are you listening to? What podcast are you playing loud enough that she's overhearing? Because if she's watching you consume good media in your life, and you ask her, what have you been watching lately? Because a lot of times those are the things that add to it. And if she's scrolling on TikTok and watching these girls who are making $10,000 off one TikTok and running around in a bikini, she's going to get insecure. And I think when you say, do you think that girl's really confident in her body? Or like, what do you think she is feeling? And creating questions and not creating assumptions is something so great in those moments, because it also allows her to think that for herself, like, wait a second, just because she's posting herself in a bikini doesn't mean she's confident, you know?
I love that.
That would be so helpful for her.
Questions over assumptions. I'm going to have to sit with that for a moment. Gosh, Grace, it's so good. So got another DM of a mom that's like, my daughter is just not having it. She's questioning everything. She doesn't want to go to church. And so that's a common thing, but it's really hard as a mom to watch, because you're like, I know the best choice for your life is Jesus, but it's the forcing is not going to work. So what do we do in that situation?
Yeah. Well, also, once again, if it breaks your heart, that's a good thing, because you want your daughter. And it's such a trend right now for teenagers and college girls on TikTok. It talks about deconstructing. Like, that is like a buzzword that this Generation Z is all Generation Alpha is talking about. Like, oh, that was manipulation when the church played that song, you know, for the offering. Like, that was this. And, you know, I think we have to see that, like, obviously a lot of times it's the enemy trying to ruin good things, but also it might even be God trying to call out churches that have, you know, manipulated and done bad things before. And so we can learn from that and hope that churches won't be that way. But at the same time, we have to hopefully be the church. Like, you can't fix the church if you're not in a church. You know, you can't change their heart about church if she doesn't show up to church and give it a chance. I think one thing I've noticed a lot, and I was just with a mom friend in Atlanta, and she was saying that they had gone to Catholic church their whole life, and, you know, their daughter became a teenager and just wasn't vibing with it. Like, didn't like the youth group, didn't whatever. She had gone to a great summer camp. And finally the mom, you know, was talking to her mom friends and was like, do your kids like church? Like, what do you do? Like, and then the girl went into this like Presbyterian church, loved it. They had great discipleship. They had put her in a life group. And then she's the one who picked that church. She was like, I really like this church, mom. So now the whole family goes to that church. And I'm not at all calling anyone to switch churches, because I do think you have to hopefully rise up that church, but don't be be okay with your daughter finding Jesus in a different way than the one way you thought it would happen. So maybe it's through like a Young Life organization that will make her then not sit with bitterness at the church, you know, and look at what other people around you are doing and what's working for them. And don't be afraid to like help leverage that, but also create a conversation with your daughter and be like, here's the deal. Like, I know you're not enjoying church and I hate that. Like, because I don't want to force you to go, but like, is there any groups that interest you that would point you to Jesus that I can like, you know, just drop you off at and hopefully be able to see that? And they may say no, but like, look around at what their friends are doing. And I will say, this is where I'm a little stickler on this, because my parents forced me to go to church every Sunday morning, even if it was a sleepover. And I had to go to the 8:30 traditional service. Like, I was like packing my church bag. I was like, this is stupid. But I am so thankful for that now. And there were good things about my church. Even if I felt awkward, if there was like, you know, youth group drama, they still forced me to go. And not until I was 16, they stopped forcing me. But at that point, I wanted to go. And I think it's just important to kind of do that, create that pattern and remind them like, hey, some days I don't want to go to church, but like after I leave church, this is what I feel and this is why I want to go back. And that will hopefully show them and demonstrate that church isn't about feelings. It's also about being a part of something. But don't be afraid to look for other avenues for your daughter to grasp onto Jesus, because the important thing isn't her church attendance. It's the fact that she knows Jesus and loves Jesus and gets fired up to talk to others and be in community.
I love it. Okay, so I want to give you the final few minutes. And I know that you have so much to encourage moms of girls or just girls in general. I think about so many of my friends are headed off to college for the first time. So, you know, you could go off of what is God teaching you right now, or what do you want to leave these moms with? Anything that the Lord's stirring in you right now, I'll give you the final few minutes.
Well, gosh. Well, for the record, I also know I'm 27 with no parents. So like you said, with the toddlers and you running parenting advice, I'm on this podcast, like telling moms my opinions and they're like, you don't have any daughters. they're like, talk about an expert. I'm like, well, I'm babysat. I'm just kidding. That's not what I'm saying. But I will say for parents, don't be afraid of your daughter being ordinary at something. I think it's as much as they dream about being this extraordinary person who goes viral and becomes the big star, gets the scholarship for sports, the D1 school. Don't be afraid of them just being like ordinary, like getting a middle tier sorority, like finding some great friends, like getting a good business degree as a 3.0 and building a great life, like getting married at 28. And, you know, like there's nothing wrong with them having an ordinary life if they know who their God is and they're walking with Christ. And so I think you want what's best, but remember, you want what's holy for your daughter. Like, stop the assumption of, I just want her to like her best. And that's normal as a mom, but like also seek for what's going to give her a holy life and not a all-star life. And I think that will give you a lot of peace when you're like, okay, you know, my daughter, not the best at math. She may never be, you know, a mathematician. She may never be a nurse. And I thought that would have been a great career that really helped her. But, you know, these are what she is good. This is what she is good at. 1 Peter 4:10, she has gifts. I just want her to give that to the giver and find peace there. And I think when you kind of allow your daughter the grace of being ordinary, that's when she can find confidence in the things and be content with what she's not.
Wow. That's so good. I was did an interview the other day with Alina Pitts, who's a good friend of mine, and she was talking about the same thing, that we often are trying to push them towards an image or expectation that we have of them versus like leaning into who God made them to be. And I think that that is so unintentional and almost like subconsciously you're like, oh my gosh, I was doing that. I would have never said it out loud, but you can see where you lean into some picture of who you thought your daughter was going to be. And man, that is so good. Okay. What are you working on now? Everyone needs to go to your Instagram and read every one of your posts. Everyone needs to get your new devotional.
Honestly, I'm not, you know, I had the Devo come out in the spring, which I'm still so excited about. So the girl looking for more. And so, what a lot of young girls know me for is my mini books. And I think it's so funny because when I first started writing those, I was like, no one cares about five slides of words, but that's the only thing I know how to write. I couldn't do like a one quoter, like, God can take your mess into your message. I'm like, not that kind of person. So I was like, let's see if there'll be five slides. And what's cool is like, it's a lot of young women, like the people who are ADD and scrolling on social media. And I'm glad that my demographic is reading them. So, but I would love some more moms, you know, and like just to be able to, if you learn about their problems, because you'll see them comment like, I need it. This is exactly how I feel. So if you're trying to get in the head of your teenage girl or your college girl, your post-grad girl, following could just help you understand what they're going through and the topics and the things that they like face. And whether it's like situationships, like that's a big thing that young girls struggle with. But yeah, so always working on that book. I'm really proud of that devotional book that just came out. I have the other books that are great Bible studies. And yeah, just writing on my Instagram. I'm about to start traveling to speak again. I do that a lot in the fall and spring, mainly to like sororities or youth groups or college ministries or even some post-grad women's retreats. And so that's super fun. And so I would love to keep doing that, but that's kind of it. We'll start writing a new book soon, but I'm kind of taking a little bit of a break.
Yes. Good for you. I would love to have you in Dallas. So stay tuned. Now that I've got your email.
Are you in Dallas?
Yes. We're in Dallas now.
Yeah. Went to Baylor's. I miss the breakfast tacos in Texas. Yes. I think about tacos all the time. So
the other thing I want to close with is we as moms really want people speaking truth into our daughters' lives. And what I love about your Instagram is like I can trust you based on what I've read so far, is that I can send that over to girls I love and they're going to hear it differently than they would hear it from a mom. It's almost like wah, 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 wah. It's like another lecture from mom. But from you, they're like, she's cool. She knows what Love Shack Fancy is. She drinks a Coke. Like they just think because of your age. And I think you're really hitting the mark and really resonating with all these women and girls. And I thank you for having the courage to put yourself out there and follow what God asked you to do.
Oh, well, that's very kind. And I think when moms say they trust me, that's the highest honor because you care so much about your daughters. And so thank you for trusting me. And that means more than any compliment I can get.
Good. Well, keep up the good work. Let's talk again soon. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.